You are locked in to Full Gamut Radio at FGRN.net.
The following program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Full Gamut Radio or Live 365. If you don't like what is said, then we suggest you leave and come back later.
The following program is brought to you by TheAmericanBeacon.com, a logical, conservative editorial dedicated to the truth and common sense ideals that made America great.
Some themes, visuals, language, and situations may not be suitable for very young audiences. Parental guidance is advised.
This program is brought to you in part by
the Central Intelligence Agency, America's premier foreign intelligence agency.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
From Full Gamut Radio and TheAmericanBeacon.com, this is The American Beacon Radio Show, hosted by Bill McMichaels, Ryan Genovese, and Miss Kristen Atkins.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people.
Welcome. Yes, welcome to the American Beacon Radio Show. I am Ron.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, and you're joined by me, Ryan.
We always have such formal introductions.
Yes.
So.
Why not, you know?
It's exactly right.
We're very polite people.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, I could have gone with I'm the big fat guy from Chicago and Ryan the youngster.
Actually, you know what? I kind of wish you did that.
Really?
No.
Oh, man. I blew it again.
Dang it. Darn it. Yeah, if only we knew.
I know. So. If we could only go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now more than ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I wish I could go back in time for, but, you know, I'm afraid, you know, someone like me would actually make things worse, but, you know, that's another story.
Well, it's all in the interpretation, I guess, but,
right.
You know, I yet again, I'm bewildered, frustrated. It's attack the troops time again.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Boy. Panetta, somewhat correct in when he says, you know, young people don't think sometimes and do things that are regrettable and whatnot. But to be totally honest with you, when it comes to the military right now and these attacks in the media, I'm going to just be honest, it doesn't bug me, especially this latest photo that turns up in the Los Angeles Times, I believe, was the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Alleged to be former soldier displaying the military's undiscipline right now and, you know, totally outraged by some of the behavior. If you've been living in a box and don't know, a photo displaying some soldiers, as well as what looked to be Afghanis, holding up body parts of... and here's another thing that totally pisses me off. At WGN News today, I almost drove over there and yelled at their news department, calling them insurgents instead of suicide bombers, which basically they were. Their body parts blown all over. It looked like tied by ropes.
Yeah.
you know, legs, things, various body parts. But, you know, the insurgents and every... but anyway, maybe you can make something comprehend or something that can be comprehended. But I'm so frustrated, so pissed, I can't get it out right now. I'm just... Mm-hmm. These meaningless attacks and not even to say let's stir the enemy's pot more and put our troops in jeopardy by just the stupidity of the release of these pictures, in my opinion. But anyway, your thoughts. I've been babbling long enough to say nothing, but...
Oh, well, I mean, it's one of those things.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to sabotage the troops once again. I'm glad to find out that, you know, news organizations are doing their best to make sure that they are completely independent and, you know, not showing their opinions when they report news stories, because that would be terrible if they decided to do that.
Yeah. Nothing like interjecting bias and, mm-hmm. you know.
And displaying it as news. I mean, I couldn't name any specifics, but I'm... Oh, wait. You just did. Never mind.
Well, just the fact that this is a story. Number one, these aren't even people that our troops did anything. They're the ones that blew up themselves and were trying to kill innocent people. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you've got what I believe to be Afghanistan citizens holding up these body parts, and the U.S. troops are just gathered around smiling into the camera. I mean, I don't get the outrage in itself. I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. And, you know, showing how this is a lack of discipline for our troops. Number one, first and foremost, I stand behind our troops. They're out there making a difference every day. They're putting their lives on the line on a daily basis.
Yes, they are.
To serve and protect us. And this is how they're going to be treated. This is how they're going to be portrayed by some disgruntled wimp. I don't even believe he's shown his face yet. It's just bizarre to me how we give this guy any credence whatsoever.
They come out and they seize, you know, on every little story that can potentially make them look bad. They run with it.
And a colonel on Fox, a former retired colonel. Unfortunately, I don't know his name, but he went on just a very apropos tirade about how weak our leadership is. They're not even standing behind them. All they're doing is condemning the actions. They're whining. They're crying. Enough's enough. Do you want us there? Do you want the Taliban out? That's the question. Do you want the BS to stop? Then shut up and let us do our job. That's the bottom line.
And the other thing that bothers me is, why are we still sending money to Egypt?
Yeah.
Aid.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I saw, like, you know, Rand Paul just introduced something to say, hey, maybe we should stop this. No kidding. We should have stopped this, like, 2 years ago.
Yes.
I mean, what are they doing for us?
Just creating more chaos. And, you know, that's, I guess, what we thrive on nowadays.
We do thrive on chaos. It's sort of like our... I mean, unfortunately, it can't be harnessed as renewable energy because it's non-renewable. It requires continued fueling of stupidity.
Oh, but you can't convert it for car use.
No. No, in fact, it actually debilitates car use, as far as I can tell.
Well, all I know is Obama must be really ticked off. Gas prices are starting to drop here in Chicagoland area. Now people are going to be using gas more again. Oh, boy. I'm disappointed, but anyway. What would you like to get to first this evening?
You can draw it out of the hat.
Well, we got a goo-goo cluster of headlines here.
Yes, we do.
And I'm sure none...
You thought no news happened today. Why don't we start with the campaigner in chief? That's always fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can. I have it up already. There's so many. Oh, boy.
Every once in a while in these little, you know, press conferences, there's some glimmers of, I guess you could call it scattered showers of journalism.
Uh-huh.
In which, you know, reasonable questions are actually asked of the administration by reporters.
Really?
Yeah.
Like hard-hitting question, not these little softball
Yeah, like
tosses.
Ones that are difficult to answer, yeah, because, you know, they're inexplicable.
Like questions like, do you know who Hillary Rosen is?
Little more involved than that.
Okay. Well, I know three of them, so it's hard for me to answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know which one you're talking. You don't know which.
I mean,
I'm
if they
about.
Seriously though, if you've got a press secretary that stumbles around on that one, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they realize they just might not be getting anything out of it whatsoever.
I just don't know why we haven't heard from those two other Hillary Rosens yet.
Yes, where are they? And where is the press trying to hunt them down?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's a real good point. I don't know. Where's this hard-hitting journalism? Why aren't they keeping him in check in everything he says? Whether it's Obama, whether it's the press secretary, I just don't
know. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm trying to find this article you're speaking of.
It's in your feed.
I know it is, but my feed is whacked. Just like the host is totally whacked, but anyway, I'll find it eventually.
As long as you're not doing the three no-nos. So.
Okay, so I think this is the headline that you want to talk about. Let's see, Tapper grills Carney on Obama's nonstop campaign travel mixed with, of course, the ever famous official business.
Official business.
Yeah.
You know, the important stuff, you know, because he's so busy.
Well, he's so official.
Yeah.
But anyway, here we go. This, courtesy of the Right Scoop, Jake Tapper did a great job putting Jay Carney on the spot today, asking him a pointed question about Obama's seemingly nonstop campaign travel. The fact that most of his trips just happened to be in battleground states. And whatever this means, taxpayers are basically footing the bill.
Funding his campaign.
Yes, exactly. And, gosh, how come we don't hear about the Obama bus anymore either? The one that we paid for. I don't know. But anyway, that's, I guess, changing the subject.
Was that the book tour? Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know. The free gas tour. Of course, Carney denied the whole premise of the question. Oh, gosh, no. I don't believe it.
He wouldn't do a thing like that.
Oh. Well, I know.
The whole premise of the question.
I guess it's all how you define official business. But anyway, I guess we are supposed to file all those campaign stops under official presidential business. Pretended the White House isn't paying attention to, isn't paying attention to what is or isn't battleground states. And take Carney at his word that the Obama campaign is going by the book when it comes to funding all these trips. I'm sure they are. In other words, he thinks we're all just full of the turnip truck or fell off.
We're just being unfair. Yes. Yeah, we're full of it, and you know they're smarter than us, and you know why would we ever question his greatness?
And you know, I'm sure after we hear this, that, you know, we're gonna answer that question with, you know, why would we? But anyway, here we go. Barring any commercials or anything else.
Welcome back to the cleaning game.
Oh, we've got cleaning games. So in approximately 20 seconds, we'll hear.
All right. Well, I mean, you do need Kleenex before the you know, the
yes, or baby feet. White. Well, you know, you got to clean up all those tough to get to areas that, you know, are really bad.
We all know what those areas are.
Oh yes, okay. Especially when we're speaking of this. But anyway, here we go. Mr. Clean Magic. Oh no, now we go here.
I have one other, yeah. One other question. We've talked about this before in this room, about the president's trips to battleground states in which he has an event, and then he has a fundraiser. And I know you've talked even more recently, when Ann asked you, about how the language in these different official versus campaign events are often quite similar. What is your message to taxpayers when they see the president flying on Air Force One, doing one official event, one campaign event, flying back, knowing that in a lot of ways, taxpayers are paying for the president of the campaign?
Well, they're not, first of all, because as in other administrations, including our immediate predecessors, as you know, we follow all the rules and regulations to ensure that the DNC or other relevant political committee pays what is required for the president or first lady to travel to political events. And, you know, this we go absolutely by the book with regard to the payments according to, you know, depending on which events are campaign or political and which are official. The suggestion that there is something wrong with the fact that the president says the same thing about what his vision is and what his policies are and what his beliefs are in front of official audiences, non-political audiences, as he does in front of audiences who are his supporters, I think is kind of ridiculous. I think it is a testament to his absolute constancy and consistency that he, this goes back to Ann's question, that yes, when he stands before supporters who are donating to his campaign, who may be wealthy, and says it is only appropriate that the wealthiest among us do our fair share so that everybody gets a fair shot. That's the same message he has when he's talking about the need to cast the buffer rule in the Senate. Totally, I think that's absolutely the way it should be. And again, with regards to the way these every president who's been running for re-election in our lifetimes, you know, deals with these matters. I mean, it is by the book, very carefully done, and appropriately done. And as you know, Jake, president is the president 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And
when he's playing golf.
He has to fly on Air Force One. He has to have security and communications. I mean, there are elements of his job that are always with him, regardless of the fact, you know, whether he's in a campaign event or an official event. And you know, costs are apportioned accordingly.
I think the issue is that President Obama is fundraising more than any president before. Each president, you can say this about each president, that he has records for fundraisers than the one before. But President Obama has attended dozens more fundraisers than President Bush had done at this point in his presidency, is going to visit battleground states more than any president.
Well, that's a fact that I'd like to contest, because when that was first raised, based on a Wall Street Journal article that included Virginia as evidence, the president's trips to Virginia as evidence of traveling to battleground states, but when it was noted that they didn't include that when assessing President George W. Bush's travel in 2004, they didn't include Virginia because nobody thought Virginia was contested, and if you did include Virginia, Bush actually traveled to more battleground states at an earlier period of time. So the president should not be penalized for the fact that the voters of Virginia decided to vote for him in 2008.
Did Bush buy a taxpayer bus to go campaigning?
I'm sorry.
The two states he's visited the most this year are Ohio and Florida. Mm-hmm. That's just a coincidence.
Two very populous states, very important states. I'm sure he'll be back to those states as well as others. We were recently in Oklahoma.
Popular.
I'm an eternal optimist.
I'm
of course
prepared to suggest that it's unlikely that anyone would call that a battleground state.
Do you know Hillary
major
Rosen?
Speech in Nebraska. Again, prepared to suggest that that's not a battleground state, although
how many Barack Obamas
a portion of
do you
it
know?
Was in 2008.
You know, one too many.
If you look at everyone in the news organizations and all their maps about what states are up for grabs and that kind of stuff and say the president can't go to those states, you're basically saying he can't go to half the country. He can't go to, and probably far
I'm
greater
sure
than
people
half in terms
would
of population.
Appreciate
he can't
that.
Go to.
No, I mean, you're saying he can't go to those states, Jake. The question is, should they be declared campaign trips?
So you're saying he cannot make official event, make go make
yeah,
official
that's,
trip
yeah.
to a significant portion of the country
Right.
Because you guys have declared them
designated
battleground states.
Campaign.
And let me be clear. Businesses. Some of the states you've declared battleground states had never been won by a Democrat before until 2000.
There's a difference between doing that and holding fundraisers.
Or President Obama won by double digits in 2008, but that's a battleground state now. Again, it is impossible for him to appropriately do his job and travel around the country and talk with the American people if he is guided by that kind of narrow view of what is a battleground state or a safe state for a Democrat or a safe state for a Republican.
Is there really
He's
a safe
president
state?
Of all the people,
yes,
all of the United States,
my
and will travel accordingly.
Kumbaya.
I think listening to spokespeople is one of my least favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially under this administration.
Because they're just so incredibly stupid. Or they treat us like we're stupid.
What?
It's like, hello. You know, the whole thing is, you know, he goes, you know, and does presidential-like stuff across the country. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're holding a freaking fundraiser the next day, charging, like, you know, what, $1,000 for whatever it is to get in, or $10,000 in some cases.
$10,000 a plate,
admission.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, hold on a second. So you made this entire trip, paid for by taxpayers, and you've already... It doesn't make sense. You're making us pay for your campaigns.
Yeah.
That's the reason that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's...
Well, yeah.
You know, it's nice you can disguise... Oh, it's just policy. I'm sorry, this guy has been campaigning for 4 years. He has done nothing beneficial to this country.
Well, yeah, I know. When is a budget passed from him? Such substance. Just like that press conference. I mean, seriously, what did he say that even answered the question? He danced around it because we know the truth. He's mixing campaigning with official business and calling campaigning official business. Bottom line.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll tell you something. The principal violator of the campaign finance laws the left is so adamant about pushing would be the left. But, you know, that's another story.
And you know what? Just for fun, we should really push this, you know. The American Beacon now requests that all the Hillary Rosens that know Jake Carney, please stand up.
Yes.
If you're Hillary Rosen, call in.
Yeah.
Call in to the show and let us know about you.
Yeah.
Yes.
We want to find these other two mystery Hillary Rosens. So, just, you know, sort of to take attendance, make sure that, you know, Carney's health is okay because he's...
Yeah,
he seems to be able to talk about them in plural, and we've only verified one that exists, so it's kind of a bizarre phenomenon.
Maybe one's like, you know, around 40, 41 single.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, take you out to a nice meal at McDonald's. That would be a great time.
I mean, I didn't get the name of the hookers the Secret Service bought and paid for, but, you know, that's another
story. Oh, my.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't think any of them were named Hillary or Rosen, if I remember, so.
No.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my. But anyway, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Why isn't Al Sharpton in federal prison?
Because he's on MSNBC?
I don't know. But I think that's just a racist question.
I think it is, too.
Racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this also from the right scoop. Al Sharpton, good old Al Sharpton, has a ton of debt. Imagine that. Another Democrat in debt. But part of that debt is millions of dollars he owes to the IRS.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Say it.
The IRS.
That's awesome. I don't believe this. This is just another attack on just a nice man.
Exactly. You're right. This is a cruel attack on a nice guy.
It is.
Who didn't do anything to deserve it. Actually, it was what he didn't do that caused him to deserve it. Never mind.
But anyway, MSNBC's Al Sharpton is reeling in debt and back taxes. The liberal provocateur.
Why is it that all liberals are in tax trouble?
I don't know.
I'm telling you this right now.
If Obama's reelected, you bet your bottom dollar Al Sharpton's on his cabinet.
Okay. Yeah.
He's going to be named because everyone doesn't pay taxes on the Obama cabinet.
It's a qualification, actually.
It is?
Being on his cabinet. You have to not pay your taxes.
They
first.
Want everybody else to pay theirs, but they don't pay their own.
Yeah.
We it's pay ours.
A fair share.
Yes. Yeah. It's that redistribution, I guess. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Al owes nearly $1 million to creditors. And the federal government, as a result of his failed bid for the 2004 Democratic presidential nominee.
That was a big one.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him being a huge factor in that
listen
campaign.
To this.
Yeah.
His campaign unpaid bills exceed $888,000, according to federal filings. I'll say it ain't so. It's unclear why Sharpton has not paid his creditors. He does not lack for income. Sharpton, who has endorsed President Obama, calls for taxing the rich as his own tax issues. Yes. He owed the IRS, get this, $2.6 million in income taxes in December 2011, as well as almost $900,000 in New York State taxes. Wow. There's a guy who's paying his fair share.
He is paying his fair share. He owes much more money than the entire, what do you call it? the average American's salary by how much? Crazy.
I know. Well, right now what we'll do is our good friend Mark Levin has something to say. And
okay, good.
Let's hear what he has to say. Why not?
I want to talk to you for a moment about Al Sharpton. Al not so Sharpton. He was in the press a lot. He's now a big power broker for the Democrats. But the man is a disgrace. The Washington Free Beacon, which is a new, terrific website, by the way, by Mill McMorris, MSLSDs, my word, Al Sharpton is reeling in debt and back taxes. If you're a liberal, how can you be reeling in debt and back taxes? What do you mean, Mark? I mean, you're always preaching more taxes and more spending. The liberal provocateur owes nearly $1 million to creditors and the federal government as a result of his failed bid for the 2004 Democratic presidential nomination. His campaign's unpaid bills exceed $888,000, according to federal filings. This is 8 years ago. It's unclear why Sharpton has not paid his creditors. Doesn't have the money, that's why. Although they say he does not lack for income. Sharpton has his own primetime talk show on liberal network MSLSD, a platform he used to drive the Trayvon Martin shooting story that rocked the nation and led to the arrest of Democratic neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman. In August 2011... Sharpton took over the 6 p.m. slot from Keith Olbermann, who earned more than $4 million a year working in the same slot at the network. Sharpton also drew a $240,000 a year salary from his nonprofit group, National Action Network, in 2011, even as the group racked up nearly $1 million and unpaid federal payroll taxes, interest, and penalties. Not only that, folks, he's got a radio show. I mean, if somebody's broadcasting and nobody hears it or listens to it, are they broadcasting? I don't know. Sharpton's case. His group has dealt with major finance issues in the last few years. The nonprofit raised $3 million in 2010, paid off its state-backed taxes in 2011, but still owed $883,000 in unpaid federal payroll taxes in December. The group also owed more than $200,000 in loans to one of Sharpton's for-profit enterprises. Sharpton, who has endorsed Obama and his call for taxing the rich, has his own tax issues. He owed the IRS $2.6 million in income taxes in December 2011, as well as almost $900,000 in New York State tax. This man's in the 1%. Maybe he's in the 1/10 of 1%. Sharpton financed his presidential run in part by borrowing large sums of money from a struggling nonprofit. Oh, look at this web. You borrow money from a nonprofit, a tax-exempt group, to run for president? I didn't even know you could do that. He owes a small fortune, actually a large fortune, to the IRS and to New York State. His nonprofit still has hundreds of thousands in unpaid federal payroll taxes. Sharpton borrowed more than $181,000 from his group, money that is now supposed to be refunded. Sharpton also loaned $145,000 to the campaign to finance a fundraising push. His largest creditor is the federal government. The campaign owes the Federal Elections Commission and the U.S. Treasury more than $225,000. May I be the first to ask a very serious question about Al Sharpton? How come he's not in federal prison? I'm very serious about this.
Because he's not.
Are there not tax issues here that require the impaneling of a grand jury or something? What about this massive debt that he reportedly owes to vendors from his 2004 Democratic presidential run? I'm just asking questions. How many of us could get away with this? I don't think any of us could get away with this. Maybe with Obama hiring thousands of new IRS agents and auditors to chase us down over health care, maybe one or two of them will be freed up to chase down Al Sharpton and his conglomerate of for-profit, non-profit, and political operations to look at their federal taxes, maybe, their state taxes, personal, corporate, non-profit taxes. It's absolutely amazing to me. Now, I can tell you, if he owes, or his group does, his non-profit, the state and federal government on payroll taxes, that means, you would think, I mean, I don't have access to his books, but that means that these payroll tax deductions that his staff and employees were making didn't wind up with the state and federal governments. Instead, they wound up in the coffers of his organization to fund that. Again, I don't know how you get away with this. Or maybe I do. Maybe I do. Obama's president, Holder's the head of the Justice Department.
You do if you're Al Sharpton.
And the IRS is busy chasing down Tea Party groups. Now, I think I've got it figured out. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Yes, you do.
Oh, boy. You got to pay your taxes.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, I know that we're so much in debt right now that, you know, you hear about all the attacks on the rich and everything else and how it won't, even if the richest of the rich are taxed, you know, quote unquote their fair share. It won't even put a dent. I wonder if you eliminate all the fraud and all of you know, just the deadbeats, how much it would, you know, help the cause. And you've got some of the harshest critics of people that aren't fairly taxed and blah blah blah, and they're the biggest culprits of them all.
Yeah,
Al Sharpton.
The whole idea here is we've got a government that's turning itself on law-abiding citizens and turning a blind eye to people, you know, that they want to elevate per se. For, you know, whatever. This is endemic. This has been going on for a long time. But I will say this, that to use the term liberal hypocrite would be redundant because the two terms are synonymous.
Yes,
I mean, totally agree. Because they're going to come out here and they're going to lecture us on books. They're going to lecture us on finances. Like somehow, we're the ones responsible for falling into this recession when they can't even keep their own books straight.
Yeah.
It's no wonder, ping off another thing that I think I sent you. If not, I'll send to you in a minute. It's no wonder that the majority party in the Senate has yet to propose a budget for how many consecutive years against federal law.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It really is. Well, at this time, we'll take a break, and when we come back, more fun stuff. Just make your heart warm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a little thing about our good friend Van Jones. Gosh, we haven't heard about him enough lately.
Yeah.
A CNN anchor that has to testify. Oh, my. And a real good friend, and I'm not saying that sarcastically, Ted Nugent. So that and whatever
and
else.
And Alan West.
Yes, Alan West.
Plenty more to talk about.
We'll be back in a few. You are listening to the American Beacon on Full Gamut Radio. Oh, boy. Let's get this going here.
Hi, this is Big Bob, host of the Memory Lane Show, asking you to join me on Saturday, April 21st at 9 a.m. Eastern Time as I feature Manfred Mann. Did you know that he was the first South of England-based group to top the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 during the British invasion? And during their two decades, the group charted 12 hits to include two number one and one gold record. In addition, I'll have What Happened on This Date in Rock and Roll History, comparison cover songs, Rate the Record, and the internationally famous Rock Out, along with other great number one songs, gold records, and covers from the 60s and the 70s. So mark April 21st on your calendars and join me at 9 a.m. Eastern Time right here on this station, and let's take a stroll together down memory lane when I play the hits that will never die.
Hello, this is Ron, host of the Bear Fan Ron Show, and I'd like to cordially invite you to listen to the show on Full Gamut Radio every Friday and Saturday nights at 9:30 p.m. Central, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On the Bear Fan Ron Show, we talk sports, current events, and whatever else comes along the way. It's the Bear Fan Ron Show, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central Time on Full Gamut Radio at FGRN.net.
You know, like, oh, my God, you can do your job. Yeah. Instead of passing stupid regulations to save the endangered black-footed ferret, the whatever. You know, you want to save the black-footed ferret, get yourself a can of black pepper. Oh, my aching ass.
The American Beacon Radio Show is live Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, right here on FGRN.net.
Just in time! Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Why don't you come downstairs?
The Cellar. Follow me. This is where you seek shelter from the same old songs.
16. It's all too beautiful.
70.
80. 90.
You never know what you might find down here. My boy,
you need to come on down to the cellar.
Come on down to the cellar.
You're funny.
You're insane. The cellar's the safest place.
It's The Cellar with Diamond Joe.
Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. Don't you just love it, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, boom.
Hello, this is Robert, host of Java Jazz Cafe and Flashback Top 20. Here to tell you, why not be a part of Flashback Top 20? Right now, at www.fgrn.net, Full Gamut Radio, there is a poll up for people to vote what song they would like to hear in the Flashback Spotlight. Yes, there'll be 5 songs on the poll. Pick the one that you would love to hear on the Flashback Spotlight, and we'll play that song for that year. Each month, a new poll will be up for you to vote for. So please go over to Full Gamut Radio at www.fgrn.net and check out the poll, and please vote as often as you can. And thank you for listening to Full Gamut Radio.
It's the NFL on steroids. The Baydirt Football Show. Every week on this station. See the schedule page for day and time.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
And we are back. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Well, you wanted to talk about it, so I jumped one ahead as far as the order. And oh, boy. A CNN anchor has a testy exchange with Alan West.
Yeah. Just to preface this, you know, I hear, you know, rumor that, you know, it might be Rubio, might be, you know, someone else, you know, for whoever Romney's going to pick as vice president. This is my vice presidential pick.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, you know, and I, it's not that I don't like Rubio. Mm-hmm. It's that we cannot lose a senator like him now.
Right.
When he's what, like third year into a 6-year term? I mean, who knows who Florida would elect in his place? We need him in the Senate. Alan West has been redistricted out of office practically, and he's fighting to keep a seat in a much more liberal district. Take him.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
I agree.
So, but whatever. Let's hear what he has to say. He's always great.
All right. So. Well, mm-hmm. You know, it's sad because I think some of these things I'm not aware of just because I don't happen to listen to CNN too often anymore for some, you know, unknown reason. Gosh, I wonder why. But anyway, Alan West comments that there are nearly 80 communists in the House, just won't go away, and CNN's making sure that Why don't we give it a listen? Oh, my. As we're loading, please stand by.
Joining us this morning, a vocal member of that Tea Party, Congressman Alan West of Florida, is with us. Nice to see you, sir. Thanks for being with us. Always appreciate it. You know, your name had been brought up. Herman Cain, I think we're having breakfast with him, and he said you'd be a great VP candidate. Sarah Palin had mentioned you as well, but the public doesn't pick you. Does that upset you? You want to be on that list?
No, you know, it's not about me. It's about my country, and this always has been that. And so I'm happy to be here serving as a congressional representative and doing what I can to make sure I get our country back on track. So it's not about myself. It's not about an ego. It's about the team.
Let me ask you a question about some of these remarks that Ted Nugent said over the weekend at the NRA. I'll play a little chunk, and we'll talk on the other side. Listen.
If Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
So now he's going to be interviewed by the Secret Service. Do you think he was threatening violence in any way, shape, or form? What do you think he was saying?
I think he was just expressing maybe his opinion about something. And, of course, everyone wants to sensationalize things. But let's leave it up to the Secret Service to interview him and get to the bottom of it. But I don't think the Motor City Madman has any ill will toward the President of the United States of America.
I think he's got a lot of ill will toward him, but I think that's a separate question of whether or not he's threatening violence. I think that's kind of night and day. No, I don't think he likes him at all. I'd say a ton of ill will.
Well, there's a lot of people that didn't like President Bush and didn't have to cart them in front of the Secret Service. So let's just let the people who are responsible for investigating take care of it.
You know, it was interesting. The Romney camp through Andrea Saul, the spokesperson, I think it was by Twitter, maybe email, sent out a statement, and they said this: divisive language is offensive no matter what side of the political aisle it comes from. Mitt Romney believes everyone needs to be civil, but the former governor himself didn't weigh in, and sort of saying everybody needs to be civil is not exactly putting yourself out there on a limb in any way. Do you think he went far enough in condemning what exactly, whatever it was, Ted Nugent was trying to say?
Well, that's not for me to decide, and I think that the more important things for me to be focused on is our economic security, our energy security, and our national security, not what Ted Nugent said, and not the response of Governor Mitt Romney to what Ted Nugent said. So I just want to stay focused on the critical issues that are affecting the United States of America right now.
Okay, let's talk about what you said. I think it was last week, Jensen Beach, you were talking about members of the Communist Party. I'm going to play a little clip about what you said.
There's about 81 members of the Democratic Party that are members of the Communist Party.
You said, I believe there are 78 to 81 members of the Democratic Party that are members of the Communist Party. You mean like card-carrying members of the Communist Party?
Well, unfortunately, Soledad, you didn't play the entire thing, and I talked about the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been back and forth about this, and I've had to give quite a few people a little tutorial about the political spectrum of ideologies, and there's a thin separation. And at the turn of the century here in the United States of America, American communists renamed themselves progressive, but the strategy and the tactics and the ideology still remains the same. And when you're a member of a caucus that actually wanted to have a constitutional amendment to redistribute wealth in the United States of America, I don't think that's in keeping with the principles and values of this country.
So, name names for me. Start naming up the 78 to 81.
Which are the members of Congress? I've got them right here. Progressive caucus.
Keith Ellison is a communist.
And Soledad. You know something?
Raoul Grijalva is a communist.
So, well, look, I'm just talking about the fact of the ideologies, the principles
Tammy
that you
Baldwin
believe in.
A communist.
You
Judy
can call
Chu
it. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it.
No, but I
want
to know what you're
I'm
calling it.
About their beliefs. I'm calling it this: communist, progressive, Marxist, socialist, statist, which is another term that's been used. I'm looking at the ideologies. I'm looking at the things that they believe in. And if you don't think that we have to stand upon truth and be able to identify and clearly contrast the different principles and values and ideologies and principles of governance here in this country, then we're never going to get to the fact of accepting the true debate that's happening in America. We don't need a bureaucratic nanny state. We need to stay a constitutional republic.
I think
a lot of people need to study that and understand what it is.
So there's a guy whose name is Libero Della Piana, and he is the vice chairman of the National Communist Party. So here's a guy, he knows communists. And he says this: I just think it's an absurd way, he's talking about you, an absurd way to cast a shadow over his colleagues. It's kind of a sad ploy. It's just guilt by association taken to an extreme. He says, you're wrong.
Well, I don't care what he says.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see if your colleagues like being called communists. Nice to see you, Congressman West. Appreciate having you.
Oh, boy. You know, that what an intelligent anchor woman.
Oh, don't you love Soledad O'Brien?
And the typical ploy, you know, deny. I remember, you know, during the campaign, you know, between Obama and McCain, and Obama got up there, all flashy and debonair, and he says, John McCain calls me a communist. John McCain calls me a socialist, rather. Yeah, well, I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding by everything you're trying to implement and do.
I don't go around and, you know, waste time with the distinction between communism, socialism, Marxism. I don't care because it's all big government.
Yeah.
And I reject it all.
Exactly.
So I don't care what you... I don't it's care one that they the hate same. Each other. Well, they're still fighting for big government.
Right? And you know, and that's the whole thing. Everything she mentioned, that's what it is.
So...
They want to control everything. Do you want them to control everything? No. Then vote against them. I mean... But, you know, just the tags, you know, deny, everything else. It's just their typical ploys. It's ridiculous. Oh, but anyway.
I mean, just the aggressive questioning from Soledad O'Brien. Like, somehow this is, like, an offensive claim.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's called calling a spade a spade.
Well, they want it to be that way, so, you know, it diverts attention.
Well, they want it to be a
boogeyman
word. Like, it, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't, you know, mean something worse than what they're fighting.
You know, kind of like when they throw out racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, which they do freely.
But, you know,
freely and openly.
Good old Soledad decided to bring this up in her interview with Mr. West. I thought we'd touch on it now. Why not? You know, of course, Nugent, as she stated, having a meeting today with the Secret Service for what he said in that previous clip, where he would either be dead or in jail if Obama gets reelected. And, you know, boy, let's really think about this really hard, Ryan, because being an intelligent person and knowing, number one, he was at an NRA convention.
Yeah.
What could he have meant? What's the NRA all about?
The NRA is an evil, evil, violent organization. Don't you remember?
Yeah, that believes in guns. People owning guns.
Yeah.
And rifles.
The horror of people owning firearms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gosh, what...
We couldn't have that in this country. That wouldn't be.
And knowing that, putting his statement in the context, if they're for people's rights to, you know, bear arms...
Well, if you take it out of context properly, you find his true evil intent.
Yeah, he must have meant, like, he was going to do something to the president. But I'm taking the other road and saying that he's saying that he's going to fight for the right to keep his firearms. And in doing so, he's either going to be dead or in jail. That's kind of what I took it as.
Yeah, it could be a variety of things. I mean, because look at what they're threatening people with who don't, you know, comply with the insurance mandates. Who don't, you know, comply with the idea that you are required to buy a service. Or you're going to be fined. And if you don't pay that fine, then what happens? Well, they're going to go to the... I mean, despite the fact that, you know, there's people like Sharpton that owe millions and millions of dollars, you know, because you haven't paid your health care fine, you're going to be arraigned and thrown in federal prison. But it's... So, yeah, that's what he means.
Oh, boy.
There's lots of nonviolent ways in which it could happen.
But, boy, do we want to spin what he said.
Do we ever?
Spin.
You know, I was kind of, you know, thrown aback by his comments originally because, you know, I was like, okay, that's a little, you know, more strongly worded than I would have worded it. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I hear him talk about, you know, and I'm quoting him here, you know, I've seen too many flag-draped coffins to know where real freedom comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he says that, you know, it just makes you really look at, you know, what the left is doing in this country is completely disavowing ourselves from the values on which this country was built.
Yeah.
You know, literally a direct quote from a congressman in Connecticut was something along the lines of, you know, because they're trying to install these traffic cameras in Connecticut now. And this congressman in Connecticut making an argument, literally a direct quote, and you think, you know, Ben Franklin when you hear this, I think it's worth it to give some of those civil liberties and privacy in the interest of safety.
Right.
Direct quote. That's like the exact reciprocal of what Ben Franklin warned about.
Mm-hmm.
The exact reciprocal. It's amazing. You know, the fact is that the leftist ideology is so antithetical to freedom in the end. Because it's literally, you know, I put a math equation up on Twitter. Security minus freedom equals tyranny. And that's what it is. You take the promise of security, and all you have to do is contract freedom, and what you're going to end up with is tyranny.
I agree. Well, just real quick, getting into the article, courtesy of Reuters, just a bit. We all know that Nugent, being quoted as saying he had a solid meeting with the Secret Service.
Yes, and he was cleared.
Yes.
So, no surprise there.
Told waiting NRA for, supporters,
waiting for the
as we
Secret
know.
Service, by the way, to interview Farrakhan, but that's another story.
Yeah. How about that? It's amazing. The double standard of it all. Hal Sharpton's not in jail.
Farrakhan's talking about the end of an entire race, you know, and then his Nation of Islam or the Black Panthers talking about their revolution on the streets in Florida this summer. I mean, who's starting the race war?
Yeah.
Well, and who is dead silent on it in this administration?
Mm-hmm.
Who's almost encouraging it in this administration in the way they approach things?
So many. One, speaking of which, one former, I believe, a czar under President Obama, Van Jones, stirring up that, you know, divisive rhetoric. Van Jones attacks hater Breitbart. Conservatives want slavery, segregation, children in factories. You know, I've heard that preached by him so often.
Three tenets of our plan.
It
yes,
is.
Conservatism.
That's all conservatives about.
What was it again? It was,
slavery?
Children in factories.
Yes,
slavery.
Slavery and segregation.
And okay. So slavery and segregation, and then children in factories.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, the children in factories
I didn't see that
one
in the
is kind of
clan, but I guess I didn't read far enough into it.
Well, they're trying to keep that one more quiet because it might disturb the children, and they might get mad.
Mm-hmm.
They
did they start building these factories yet? Because I know a lot of them closed down. Did they start building these factories that they're
going
to have children in?
What they're doing is they're building them in like China and stuff, and then they're going to ship the children over there, I guess.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. All
right. But anyway, we're going to play a clip about Van Jones, but just getting into it a little bit. Van Jones, you always have some Americans that they don't want to go forward. We like slavery, or we like segregation, or we like women not voting, or We like the environment.
I hear that all the time.
I do. Well, Mitt Romney talks about it all the time, especially when he found out that most women support Obama by a poll that was released recently. But anyway, what else don't we like? Or what we do like, of course. Excuse me. We like the environment being destroyed. I always talk about that.
Yeah, you know what? That's one of my policies, is to make sure the environment is destroyed by 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So
we like workers having no rights. We like children in factories. That's the best one. That's something I've always thought about. How many children can we get working in factories?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and they want to conserve the old ways, yes. And then you have people who say, no, we can be a better country than this. Let's progress. Yes. Yeah. Let's play this clip. This is intriguing me here.
I believe that we have been changing as a country since the beginning. And that's what Americans do. We change. We evolve. And you always have some Americans that they don't want to go forward.
Yeah.
We like slavery, or we like segregation, or we like women not voting, or we like the environment being destroyed, or we like workers having no rights. We like children in factories. And they want to conserve the old ways. And then you have people who say, no, we can be a better country than this. Let's progress. Let's progress beyond those old hateful ways. And so that's always been a debate and a divide. But, you know, the people who are trying to make America progress always win in the end. You know when you're being tricked. You have these people out there like Glenn Beck and, you know, the late Andrew Breitbart. They'll take a half of a fact and half of a fact and a half of a lie and mix it up together and sell it to you. And, you know, a lot of these haters actually think I'm like a 9/11 truther and a felon and all this type of stuff. And, you know, you can go and you can see it's not true. But in their little information bubble, the facts haven't, they're still tricked. Uh-huh. It's like they live in Ashton Kutcher world. You know what I mean? They just been punked and they don't know. A lot of people, especially the people who only know me because of the 6 months that I spent in the Obama administration and not the 20 years I spent in the community. Yeah, right. All they know is whatever crazy stuff Lynn Beck said about me or whatever crazy stuff Fox News put out. But for the people who actually know the work, that, you know, it's just why it had no effect. That's why I could be here in California.
Yeah,
I was at Google yesterday. I was at Twitter today. I talked to, you know, the elected people. Because people in California, they saw the 20 years of growth. And so nothing those guys can do, nothing the haters can say is going to stop anything we're trying to do out here in California.
That's because you're irrelevant. But that's another story.
You got to be kidding me. I mean, seriously. The imagination theater lives on. I mean, I'm speechless. I'm truly speechless.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's another clip of him, I think just the other day, where he got Trayvon Martin's name wrong. And...
Well,
so it shows you they're so much more concerned about the race baiting rather than the actual people involved.
Yeah.
So it's
totally amazing. It really is.
So yeah, it's just lies being thrown out about him trying to destroy. No, it's that you're actually Van Jones. You're actually a self-identified communist.
Yeah,
and that's the truth. You know, you've written about it. You've done all these things. So people who want to progress are the ones that come out on top, really.
Well, look at the whole movement he started that's, you know, no one really wants to point out. But he's part of the whole Occupy movement.
Yeah.
Look at what they're all about. That's Van Jones in a nutshell.
And this movement is a social revolution that is trying to change this country beyond the scope of what elections do.
Yeah.
In fact, they're trying to dismantle the very structure of this country and rebuild something very different.
You want to talk about half-truths?
I mean, the Occupy movement is where the gradualists meet the people who really just want an all-out revolution.
Oh, boy.
And it's some of them are not peaceful people.
And, you know, Van Jones is right, though. His record does speak for itself, and that's why he got ran out of Washington, at least out of the Obama administration.
I mean, you know, you talk to, you know, Breitbart or Beck, you know, at the time, and they weren't advocating for the firing of Van Jones. They just wanted people to know who he was. And I mean, the more significant thing is that Barack Obama picked him and is surrounding himself with people like him.
Yeah. But, of course, he doesn't know anything, you know, about them, or they just he just heard they were good people and put him in. Who's the one nominee he had? I don't know if it was for the Supreme Court or whatever, but how she got up there and talked about how she loved Mao Zedong or whatever.
Oh, Anita Dunn.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what was her job again? I don't remember. It was like,
I can't either.
White House something.
Private. Anti-communist organization.
Was she like a chief of staff or something? I don't remember.
I don't know. We'll have to check on that. But boy,
but, Hillary Rosen actually works for Anita Dunn's PR firm.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Hmm. At least the one of the three Hillary Rosens that Jay Carney knows. I should be specific.
Yeah, we don't know which one.
Yeah.
And please remember, if you're listening to this, any Hillary Rosen out there, could you call? What's the number to call into the show? To leave a message line.
Leave us a message.
Yeah,
it's,
that's it.
828-237-1227.
Please call that number. Repeat it again.
1-828-237-1227.
All the Valerie Rosens, please call in. We want to find
you.
You
know, if you really can't remember the number that we just said, just go to theamericanbeacon.com. It's on the sidebar.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, what would an American Beacon episode be without a Martin Brashear update? Boy. And
it gets good.
And then Jeff Sessions to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Those and maybe...
I guess the whole show at that point is going to go to hell. Oh, pun intended.
I think it already has, but anyway. Oh, boy. I don't know, man. This is just absolutely unbelievable. I can't believe half the stuff I'm hearing, but anyway.
The half-truths that Van Jones talking about?
Yeah. It has me speechless.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We will, Lord willing, in a few.
Streaming 24 hours, 7 days a week. You're listening to Full Gamut Radio at FGRN.net.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Yeah, please, please, do not dare if you're going to try to tell me that there was bias in the coverage of CPAC because the camera angles were fixed. Probably the biggest blow to malarkey I've ever heard in my life.
The American Beacon Radio Show is live Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, right here on Live 365 at FGRN.net.
A hero's gonna save me just in time. Listen to the Bear Fan Ron Show Friday and Saturday evenings at 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern Time. On the Bear Fan Ron Show, we talk sports, listen to some tunes, and want to hear about what's ever on the listeners' minds. That's the Bear Fan Ron Show, Friday and Saturday evenings, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central Time, on Full Gamut Radio. The Full Gamut of Radio at FGRN.net.
Windows of the past, reflecting on my mistakes.
Streaming from the servers on Live 365. You are locked in to Full Gamut Radio, the full gamut of radio at FGRN.net.
It's the NFL on steroids. The Bader Football Show. Every week on this station. See the schedule page for day and time.
Hi there, this is Ray Gauche from Back to the 80s, inviting you to join me for another 2 hours of 80s classics. On the next show, we'll count down the top 10 of June 8th, 1985. We will also hear music from the Masonettes, The Fix, The Flirts, ZZ Top, Irene Cara, Dan Hartman, Peter Gabriel, Nick Kershaw, Journey, The Police, and so much more. Do join us. Gotta get back in time.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
And we are back.
Yes, of course, we're back.
Yes, we are.
Now, wouldn't it be something if, you know, the tolerant left decided to launch an attack, you know, on the grounds of somebody's faith? Mm. Not that they haven't been doing that, you know, from the beginning.
But they're such tolerant people. Why would they do anything like that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't believe.
Certainly,
it.
With, you know, because they lead by example. They're the intelligent ones. You know, they
pay their taxes. They respect people's opinions. They don't. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's almost like they're everything that they accuse the other side opposed to them of being. Is that?
Yeah.
That couldn't be.
I don't think so. But anyway.
Martin Bashir is a fun guy, though. We know.
He is. Mm-hmm. And he would never attack anyone for their faith, and it wouldn't happen.
That's true.
You know, why don't we listen to what Martin has to say?
Okay. Because, you know, I don't expect to hear any personal attacks. So.
It's time now to clear the air. And on Wednesday's broadcast, we brought you a spirited discussion about Mitt Romney's Mormon faith and one pastor's view that Mormonism is both theologically heretical and a cult. Today, we wanted to focus on what Mormonism says about lying. And the reason is quite simple.
Whoa.
Mr. Romney seems to be having some trouble telling the truth. In fact, yesterday, Mitt the Mendacious offered a hat trick of falsehoods. First, his campaign claimed that it was Ted Nugent who sought out the Romney camp to offer his support. But we spoke to a reporter who interviewed Nugent on the subject. Mr. Romney called Ted Nugent and asked for his endorsement. Yes?
Oh, he knows.
Yes, that's exactly how Nugent portrayed it on the day he gave the endorsement.
So, someone's lying, and Mitt the Mendacious went along with it. Then, Mr. Romney said that there is a vast left-wing conspiracy designed to undermine his presidential campaign, presumably run by some hidden hand in the media. But this, after he spent the whole day appearing on right-wing radio on Fox News, and all the while refusing a three-year standing invitation to appear on Meet the Press or any other broadcast that might actually ask him a challenging question. Truth is, there is no left-wing conspiracy, and he knows it. But his third lie yesterday appears to be his all-time favorite. This is his utterly false claim that the president promised to keep unemployment below a certain level.
He said if we let him borrow $787 billion, he would hold unemployment below 8%.
Now, Mitt the Mendacious knows full well that the president never, ever said such a thing. In fact, that figure of 8% was a speculative projection written by two analysts with limited access to data and well before the president was even inaugurated. But much more to the point, it is something that the president has never written nor said. But that doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter how many times he hears the truth. Mitt Romney prefers to tell lies. Which brings us to the moral codes of Mormonism that Mr. Romney claims to live by. In section 63 and verse 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants of the Mormon Church, we find this. All liars, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, and the whoremongerer and the sorcerer, shall have their part in that lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And from the Book of Mormon to Nephi, chapter 2, verse 34, we find this. Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Given what the Book of Mormon is clearly saying, Mr. Romney has but two choices. He can either keep lying and potentially win the White House, but bring eternal damnation upon himself, or he can start telling the truth. The question for him, I guess, is which is more important?
Oh my gosh. Thank God there's Martin Bashir to set everybody straight.
He is the Mormon theologian on MSNBC.
Oh, my.
That's what he is. He knows.
Where do they find these people? In seriousness.
Only, I mean, you know, the idea that, you know, Barack Obama didn't oversell every single thing he stood for as the miracle cure.
Yeah.
That was disbanding this country from, you know, just some incredibly audacious lines. Yes, he promised the 8% thing.
Yes,
you know
what
else he promised? He promised that his health care bill would cause insurance rates to drop by 3,000%. We all know that's mathematically impossible.
Well,
he promised it.
They nearly rose that much lately.
These are all quotes that we can play audio of, Martin. This isn't stuff that we just made up. This is stuff we've played audio of on our programs. This is stuff that Obama is on record of saying, on video of saying. I don't even, you know, this is outrageous that they would come out here and say, oh, Mitt Romney is, he's lying. And, you know, I know his religion so well that I know that his lies about the president.
I think
they aren't even really lies.
I think it's
the end of him.
It's all about Martin's own guilty conscience.
It is about
Martin's
own.
That's what I think.
Is there someone who pretends to be on a news show that is any more radically biased than he is?
I don't know. Because I don't listen to him.
I can't name one.
I don't, you know, I guess I have to, like, force myself to start listening to these idiots more often because I can't believe half of what I hear.
The first time I ever heard of Martin Bashir was when he had Andrew Breitbart on his show, like, a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he was on there talking about interviewing Andrew over the book he had written. And every single question he asked Andrew about the book was from Media Matters opposition research. He hadn't read a page of it himself. This is the kind of journalism that Martin Bashir does.
Yeah.
And passes off as responsible.
Well,
and then he, on his little pedestal, thank goodness nobody watches, tries to lecture everybody else on political decency.
Mm-hmm.
And is the arbiter of who's telling the truth.
Well, that's up. Well, you know, that's up for the producers to do for him.
It is. Of
they
course.
Tell him what to say and what's coming next.
Yeah, you know what? It isn't really his fault. Then it's the people loading his teleprompter. I forgot. Yeah.
But we all know about MSNBC, and that is the Obama network. And
so they've got a serial liar on the program, and then they've got another guy who should be in federal prison because he doesn't pay any taxes. So, they've got quite a lineup on that network, you know, I have to say.
And they're MSNBC is all about biblical and Mormon principle.
They don't lie, they
give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. They're,
you know what, I bet if they took the time, they would even lecture us on, you know, the rest of Christianity as well.
Yes.
They just haven't gotten around to that on this specific point. But, you know, it's... Actually, a bunch of Democrats in Connecticut were actually lecturing the Catholic Church about their teachings. Because they had read things in books 50 years ago that, you know, they believed was right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what the three Hillary Rosens think about all this.
You know, we could take a poll because, you know, when you have three people and it's a yes or no answer, you're going to have a winner.
There you go.
So we need the three Hillary Rosens to come out and vote.
Yes.
And we'll have a winner. It'll be a 2-1 victory. Maybe it'll even be a 3-0 victory. But we'll know in the end what the answer is.
Well, Jeff Sessions to the Senate. The American people shouldn't send another dime to this place.
Yeah, you know what? I absolutely love what he said on the Senate floor, so maybe we can play that. It's pretty short.
Yeah. Well, we've got a few minutes. We started a little late, so here we go. Jeff Sessions.
The majority party has a responsibility, in my view, to lay out its vision for the country. And the biggest part of that vision is where they intend to spend the taxpayers' money. And rather than, I can't imagine that they would want to go to the American people, ask for higher taxes when they refuse to comply with the plain statutory law that says they should have a budget to tell where that money is going to be spent. If you won't tell the American people where you're going to spend the money, how much debt you're going to run up, how much spending you're going to cut or not cut, then I don't think the American people ought to send another dime to this place. Not another dime.
Oh, my.
See, this just has too much common sense.
I wonder if the IRS is going to go after him now.
I wonder. You know what he's... Yeah, he's advocating tax evasion.
Yes, he is.
Criminal tax evasion.
Evil.
That's what should really be looked into. They should investigate him right now.
But believe me, you know, with all that I've seen, you know, the last 3 years and months, that thought's crossed my mind. I'm not going to lie. I've paid my taxes. But the thought has crossed
my
mind.
Is that they come out and they say, They want all these goodies. They want all these things they can promise their constituents so they can get their votes. But they won't dare to put out a budget. They won't dare put their names on a piece of paper that quantifies the spending that they're actually proposing in a year.
Yeah.
And when they actually do bring that to a vote, like the Republicans did in the House, they brought Obama's budget to a vote in the House because the Democrats wouldn't do it themselves. They all voted against it because they're afraid to put their names to it.
Of course.
So it's an incredible standard. because it's one that, you know, they don't want to own up to the results of their actions. But the problem is that there are steep penalties, not only to us, but to future generations. Steep consequences for their bad ideas.
Yep.
And, you know, it's about time we realize, you know, that there's something important here. You know, this country that we were given, you know, by our forefathers, well, it would be a shame to let it go over such facetious matters.
Yes, it would. And, you know, well, it's going to take people to realize, you know, what's really going on. And I mean, yeah, you know, the economy is a factor and all that, but, you know, revisit the Constitution, revisit, you know, what really, you know, what real history took place, because you've got people just with a totally warped sense of reality on what the country really was founded on and what we have now. I mean, you know, Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, you've got people who just flat out reject the whole premise, you know, of a free society, of a civil society.
Didn't Nancy Pelosi say something to the effect of, I mean, just in regards of Obamacare and everything, this is what the founding fathers had in mind.
Yeah.
More government, really.
She also
really
wants the First Amendment revised.
Oh, good.
Could say a lot.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ryan, another great, entertaining show. Thanks for stopping by.
I know I entertained myself. If I didn't entertain any of the listeners, I sincerely apologize. But, you know, it's, you know, sometimes I'm the only one that gets entertained. You know, that's, you know, tough luck sometimes. So,
well, thanks to you, the three Hillary Rosens, all those listening tonight live, and then, of course, on the archive on the American Beacon radio show page. It's been a pleasure. It's now time to sign off. Hopefully, we'll be back tomorrow with more fun for your listening pleasure. Good night, Ryan. Good night, everybody. The American Beacon, signing off.
Until the dark, I struggle to find my faith as I'm slipping from your